Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you here. Thanks for coming in on a Sunday morning, and happy Thanksgiving. This week, the week of Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday, time where we get together as family and friends and hang out and eat food and pause and stop to just say thank you. Thank you to each other. Thank you for life. Say thank you to God that we have life. And it's a great time of year, and I am so, so grateful. I just really find myself thinking of how glad I am that we get to live in Baltimore City, how glad I am that Rebecca and I are here with our kids and enjoying the city and enjoying life, sharing life with each of you. We're very, very grateful for that, and we just hope that each of you have a great time. We've talked before about, you know, you're invited to come over to our house and enjoy the holiday. We're definitely going to be having a good time, enjoying some excellent food, and enjoying the Ravens game. Is this the Harbaugh Bowl, a matchup with the 49ers? I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be pretty exciting on Thursday night. But man, it's just a great time of year to enjoy games and hanging out with each other. And so happy Thanksgiving. You know, we're sensitive to the fact that it's not a great time of year for a lot of people, but it can be a time where we make new memories and have fun as we just, you know, choose to live in the present. But I love you guys. I'm so grateful for you. And I just want to say thank you for being here. And I hope that you get to enjoy a good Thanksgiving weekend. Quick reminder, as we are always in the process of our generous giving, that every week we want to remind you that 10% of what you give, we give away. And in the month of November, we have been doing that with Nathan and Kelly Goodwin that are in Iraq, and very exciting for us to be able to make a donation for them and their ministry and what they're doing over there. We've talked about that in previous weeks. I'm happy to get you information if you would like information. But we just believe in the generous life, and we're going to talk about that more in a minute, but we believe that God has already given us his best, and so the least that we can do is be generous. And so a quick reminder of that, whether you make your donation at the box at the back or on our website, cbcbaltimore.com, we want you to be reminded that we give 10% of that away. Amen. All right, well, hopefully you've got your Bible. We're going to use that and dig into the Word. Today, let's open up with a word of prayer, okay? God, we just thank you for who you are and for what you've done. Lord, we love you, and we stop today and this week. We drop everything to say thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for all that you have provided for us. You're a good God. You're a loving God. And we come together today to thank you, Lord God. Just coming together is a part of our worship to say thank you. Lifting hands and singing and speaking to you and listening to you. And now as we come to your word, we do it as a way to say thank you, because while we were still sinners, Christ died. And we can be forgiven of our sins, and we're grateful for that today. God, we pray that you would help us as we dig into the word to understand it, to understand what it means, and to take action and to respond. We thank you for that, God, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, grab your Bible, and we're going to look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, just to introduce our concept while you're turning there, what we are talking about this week is courageous generosity. Courageous generosity. Now, I know that we are in a season in our economy here in the U.S. and even in other countries where things are tough and where unemployment is high and it's hard to get jobs, and we are praying for people to get jobs, and we've been blessed to already have seen people get jobs and even their moving expenses paid, people that are a part of this church. And it's a time of year where you find yourself thankful for things that maybe you didn't think to be thankful of back in 2005, 2006. And I know that things are difficult, and so there's a lot of people right now that are living on less. They've been forced to live on less. And maybe it's because of a loss of a job or loss of a home, because of a mortgage situation, or maybe it was a medical thing, whatever it is. There are a lot of people in our country today, and even some of us here in this room, that are choosing to live on less because we've been forced to. And if you think about being generous, even the things that we've already talked about this morning, it can sound a little bit crazy. And so when we talk about generosity, it really is courageous generosity, because you're making a decision, you're taking courage, you're taking a step of faith, you're choosing to believe that God is alive, that God is real, that He will supply your needs, and that you're going to choose to live on less time, energy, and money so that you can be generous. And so when we talk about generosity, that's what we're, courageous generosity, that's what we're talking about. Now, over this past year, we haven't spent a whole lot of time on Sundays talking about money. That just hasn't been a topic that we have dug into quite yet. And the Bible has a lot to say about money, and maybe not what you think. Now, just so that you can relax, you know, we're not here this morning because we need your money. We really are not in a place. I mean, our bills are going to be paid here as a church regardless. And so, you know, we're not trying to buy a building or start construction or do anything else. So, you know, this topic today, you just take a breath. It's okay. This topic today is not because we need your money. But money is a part of life, and the Bible has a lot to say about it. There's a lot in the Bible about paying your bills and even about paying taxes. You know, Jesus talked about that as well. And, you know, as much as that's hard for us to, you know, hear, it's in there. And there's a lot in the Bible about the benefits of living responsibly and the benefits of living generously. In Deuteronomy 8, says that it's God that gives us power to earn wealth. And there's a lot in the scripture about the fact that we are stewards and that it's a good idea to save more than you spend. And in Timothy, to provide for your family. And not only that, but even to provide an inheritance all the way to your grandchildren. And one of the things that I love about our church is that our church, even if in its infant form, has already proven to be a generous church. And so we display courageous generosity with giving away of our time, energy, and money in the face of economic challenges. Even now, I've seen some of you be very courageous and being generous of giving of your time, energy, and money to other people. And so the great thing is that as we talk about this today, it's not a new concept, but it is a concept that it's good for us to just dig down on our understanding. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 there. Hopefully you've had time to get there already. It's page number 943 for me. I'm just going to read chapter 8, verses 1 through 12 from the New Living, okay? Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we've urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to also to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that by His poverty He could make you rich. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving God in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. Okay. Now, let's flip over real quick to chapter 9 and read verses 6 through 10. Chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. Just turn to the right. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Excuse me. Now, these are some deep passages of Scripture in that they're not just, you know, be a better person or, you know, a few words to try to help you, you know, here or there. This is talking about real life. This is talking about real circumstances and things that happen. And I want to look at this a little bit deeper. Now, one of the things that you need to remember is that Paul is writing to Christians who are like you, who believe God, who have a job, who have a family, who have needs, who were in a stable and a good economy in the state, in the city of Corinth. Now, he's writing to them about the Macedonians in a way to inspire them. He's trying to inspire them by the generosity of what was going on. And when he talks about Macedonia, he's talking about Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea that had suffered in an earthquake. And they were in a place of real economic need because of what had happened. And so he's writing to them about a longer term giving of money to help them recover from what had already happened. Now, this kind of generosity is not a new concept, and it's also not the kind of thing to help their own church pay the bills. And that's something that's important for you to understand and to be thoughtful of. And when we are talking about this today, we're talking about a different principle. We're not talking about you making a decision to try to help our church pay our bills. No, what we're talking about is a principle of generosity. So try to focus your mind in that respect. Now, remember, when we come to church to meet with the God of the Bible. When we come to church, we come to worship God. We come to give him our thanks for everything that he already has done, our salvation, our faith in him, our forgiveness of sins. And when we come together, we don't come together so that you can hear my opinion. We come together so that we can learn from the Bible what God has to say, because it matters, because he's alive, because he's real. And if he is alive and if he is real, whatever it is that he has to say is worth us paying attention to, right? Now, if you were to get into the Bible and to get into the Bible and to look at the concept of generosity, you cannot avoid the reality that God is a generous God. He's a giving God. If you start to look at the stories, you're going to see that God created the world. He gave us everything. He provided for us. He provided for us the means to build homes, to clothe ourselves, to earn money, to care for our family. And not only that, he knew that we would mess up, and he knew that we would need forgiveness, and he gave us his son. He gave us a way to salvation. God is a generous God. And as Jesus predicted, sending the Holy Spirit to help us, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is generous. You don't have to beg for more. He freely gives you. And so the character of God, as you grow in your following Jesus, the character of God will come out of you. And when the character of God comes out of you, it comes out of you in a generous way. So you can't miss the fact that if you start to memorize the Bible, start to memorize verses that will help you in your life, you're going to memorize words about a generous God. A God who loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We serve a generous God. And in weeks past, you know, we've talked about the generosity of God. In weeks past, we've talked about the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the agape love of God. And, you know, we mentioned previously a story about someone who had died and had a vision of heaven and hell before coming back to life. And this vision that they had, this was a vision of going into a hallway and being in a hallway and seeing one door that was marked hell and one door that was marked heaven. And for whatever reason, they decided to go into the door marked hell first. Not really sure what that says about them. But they went into the door marked hell, and what they came into was a huge banquet hall that was set. A banquet hall that was set for a lot of people to sit down and eat and share a meal together. And there was, you know, food and drink and plenty. And this is kind of confusing, you know. But what they saw seated at each chair at the table was a skeleton, someone that had died. And fixed to one of their hands was a spoon. But it was a spoon that was so long that they could not feed themselves. You try to picture this, a really long handled, almost like long handled spoon. They could not feed themselves. They were confused by this and didn't know what to think about that. They went back out into the hallway and saw the door marked heaven and walked through the door marked heaven. And in walking into the door marked heaven, they saw this same setting, a huge banquet hall and a table set with food and drink. But the difference was is that here, he heard the sounds of partying and of a feast. And at every seat, there was somebody sitting there laughing and they were enjoying each other's company and having a great time. And they had the same spoon fixed to their hand. The same spoon. The difference was that in this room, the people were feeding each other. They were feeding each other. There's a difference. God's love is not a love that serves self. See, lust gets, love gives. God's kind of love, a God kind of love, is a generous love, is a love that gives. It's an agape love. And I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 some particular words. Now flip back open to your Bible real quick here, and let's just look at some of the key phrases and words that are in here that help us on this theme, because I think this will help deepen your understanding of what's going on here. Now what you see very clearly is the word grace. Grace, okay, giving a good that's not deserved. Privilege. Partnership. Sharing. Service. Ministry. Earnestness. Love. Willingness. Generosity. Abundance. Liberal gifts. Blessing. Good work. You get an idea from these words, a little bit of what Paul thought about a generosity that reflected the love of God. What I'm talking about here is when God's love for you, okay, the fact that you can be forgiven of your sins, when God's love for you changes you so much that you're not always thinking about what you can get out of someone else. That's not your first thought anymore. Now, your first thought, because you've been forgiven, because you believe that God is a real God, God is a living God, God is a God who will take care of you, God is a God who will forgive you. His love for you is complete. If you trust in Him with all of your heart, you come to a place where now your first thought can be, I want to give away to someone else. I want to consider this living on less. Let's define this a little bit, Kit, okay? Let's just drill down into courageous generosity. Now, before we do, I want to also read to you real quick from Philippians chapter 4, okay, verses 14 through 19. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once.
I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me from Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which we have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of people will have taken that verse before completely unto itself, but you can't separate it from the context. You can't separate it from the reality. And the reality of it is that that's written in the context of real people just like you who had a hard time understanding the Bible, who had a hard time dealing with the fact that even after they came into contact with faith in Jesus Christ, they still struggled with fear, anxiety, insecurity, or pride, or arrogance, or lust, or wanting to steal, or gossip, or saying bad things. They were real people. They didn't know the end of the story, but they had made a decision that they were going to be generous. And that's who Paul is writing about here. And so when he says, the same God who, right, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. And these were the people that he's talking to that had suffered the earthquake and economic hardship that had made a decision to be generous. So when we kind of take a look at the Bible idea of courageous generosity, let's just two quick steps here. Let's define that so that we can have something to just wrap our hands around, okay? So when we talk about courageous generosity, we're talking about living on less so that you can give away your resources even when times are tough, okay? Now, what we're talking about there is your time, your energy, and your money, okay? So living on less so that you can give away your resources even when times are tough. Next. Now, when we talk about courageous generosity, we're talking about the attitude that confronts adversity with a spirit of liberality, open-handed generosity, and an unselfish, faith-filled giving flowing from a willing heart. And that's a mouthful, okay? I want you to think about these words and what they mean. Let me read that to you again. The attitude that confronts adversity with a spirit of liberality, open-handed generosity, and an unselfish, faith-filled giving flowing from a willing heart. Now remember, this phrase, right, the people that he is talking to had gone through, one translation calls it fierce trouble, okay? The message says, the message paraphrase says that it was their trial that exposed their true colors. The difficulty that they had gone through is what showed, it revealed their character because they chose to be generous. Now, you know, as some of you know, I have a sister, a brother-in-law who are missionaries in Cambodia. They've been there 7 years, and even though things are more affordable there than they are here, as far as the number of dollars, it's still not easy. Right? And they are supported by generous individuals like us, like others, and churches. And they're in a country that does not support itself financially and is not stable, and it's a dangerous situation. But they're also in a country that has really, truthfully, more spiritual needs than natural needs. Okay? Now, I had visited them, you know, some years back. And when I did, they were in the process of courageous generosity in a whole new level. Now, not only had they moved themselves or children from a stable, comfortable, good job situation here in the U.S. to be in a third world country that is not stable, to live basically on the generosity of other people in a further unstable situation so that they can love people. Now, we've talked about it before, but in case you weren't here, you know, they're a part of a church and a nonprofit organization that provides church for people that wouldn't otherwise have it and has classes that are available Monday through Friday. They're teaching English and Microsoft Office Suite help and business management and helping people that would not otherwise have skills to have a job and provide for their family to be able to provide for their family. They're also providing for them an introduction to Jesus Christ and salvation, and then also medical care and dental care and a lot of things that might not be provided otherwise. And so, but they, you know, in the process of going through normal life, on the in the area where they were living at the time, there was a vacant lot. And in that vacant lot, there was a building that had been leveled, and so there was nothing there. But along the street, there was a driveway to go onto that lot. And on that driveway, which was essentially just a pad of concrete, there were three generations of ladies living there: grandmother, mother, and daughter. Little girl, maybe 4 years old, or 4 or 5, I forget. And they essentially had just kind of divided this little pad of concrete into a home. And so they had one little section where they had built a fire, where they had some stuff arranged so they could have a pot over the fire. And they had some 5 gallon buckets spread out, you know, that they would use, I'm sure, for toileting and for bathing. And there was a couple on other corners, a couple of stacks of garbage bags, and had a little bit of clothing here and there. And my sister and brother-in-law made a decision to live on less time, energy, and money of their own support, which was really not much money, so that they could once a week bring these ladies into their home and give them an opportunity to sleep, give them an opportunity to shower, bathe, an opportunity to eat, an opportunity to relax, not have to fear for their own safety, to love on them and show them the help that they could afford to help. And it was a really inspiring to me to see real courageous generosity in action. They were following this formula, really, that Paul's talking about with the Macedonians. They were, in their own way, in a situation that a lot of us here in the States would say that my sister and brother-in-law were doing something that was a little bit crazy, where they were putting themselves in the way of a challenging situation and potentially facing poverty. And in the face of their own challenge and in their own poverty, my sister and brother-in-law were adding to that the grace and joy that God had provided for them and giving away. They were choosing to live on less time, energy, and money so that they could give away to folks who had less than they did. And what happened out of that is that my sister and brother-in-law have continued to been able to pay the bills by the generosity of other people. And not only that, but their budget has increased and God has provided for them the things that they needed. And so what we see is the same formula in their story that really Paul is talking about to the Corinthians that the people in Macedonia were doing. And that was this following this formula that even in the face of hard times and poverty, and we're at a place now where, according to the census data, 1 out of 2 Americans is either at the poverty level or at the low income level. 1 out of 2 Americans are in that place. And so this message is really relevant because it's the reality. And so in the face of our economy, we're challenged to rise up because we don't have a mindset that's based on what we can see in this world. We're not going to fall prey to a negative mindset. We're not going to fall prey to worry, stress, anxiety, and doubt. How many of you know that there are in the Bible 365 references to fear not or do not worry? There's one for every day of the year. God doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to fear. Of course, he wants you to work hard. He doesn't want you to be lazy, but he does want you to depend on him. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledge him, right? It is God that gives me power to get wealth, and any wealth that I have, it ultimately comes from him. The good things that I have in my life come from him. Amen? And so we need to be occasionally reminded of this. We need to be pushed to focus because God wants us to break out of apathy or worry or fear or doubt. He wants us to break out of that, and he wants us because he's already given us his best through salvation, through forgiveness of sins. He's already given us his best. He wants us to choose to live on less, to be good stewards, and to be generous. And who knows?
God may have put people, no, God has put people in your life who have less than you, who have needs. Now, this may not be money. They may be lonely. The Bible says that God puts the lonely in families. And listen, look around this room. We're all spiritual family. And so even those, he's talking about people that don't have family, God brings them, provides them family. Who knows? Maybe that angry, cranky, negative person in your office just needs a hug. I mean, don't get sued, you know, but maybe they need a smile. Maybe they need love. Maybe they need someone to just buy them a cup of coffee and ask them how they're doing and listen to them. Maybe courageous generosity is just you getting over fear or anxiety or even selfish pride, getting over yourself and being worried about what people will think about you and taking a step to say, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? And just taking a step to be generous with your time to that person that's kind of annoying with whatever, you know, their joke or their story or whatever it is or their complaint. Maybe God just wants you to be generous to listen to them, to give them a shoulder to cry on. Or maybe it's to give them an encouraging word, to share actual truth with them. You know, say, you know, hey, you know, I know that you're going through difficult, but maybe have you tried this? Or have you thought about that? Or maybe it's you've got a relationship, you've got a friendship, or you have something that you know that they don't know that could help them in their situation. A lot of people just need time. They need the comfort of friendship. Maybe they're paying for a therapist because they can't get anybody else to have a conversation with them, to listen to them. Courageous generosity could be, I'm so stressed out about my own life. I'm so worried about paying my own bills or getting enough money pulled together to get Christmas presents that I'm ignoring the people around me that are hurting. And maybe they went through a divorce on Thanksgiving. Maybe they had a loved one killed in an accident on Thanksgiving. Maybe it's not as dramatic as that. Maybe there was just bad stuff said about them when they were a kid on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is, but maybe God has put somebody in your life who needs some love. And maybe courageous generosity for you is asking God to help you have boldness. Do you know that the followers of Jesus Christ, in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, when they prayed, most of the time, they were asking God for boldness. God, help me be not be insecure. Help me be full of life. Help me to get over my own worry, my own security, or my own fear of whether or not they'll reject me or think I'm stupid, and reach out to somebody. Ask God today for courage. Ask God for boldness so that you can be generous with your time, your energy, and your money. And I know that for some of you, just giving a dollar to church is a huge step. And wherever you are today, this is a good time of year to take a step. Maybe tithing is a huge step for you. You need to get a hold of Malachi chapter 3. Maybe it's giving your time to somebody else is a huge step. I don't know what it is for you, but I know that it's something that God wants to do with you. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the story. There was a man who had seen in Hong Kong, who'd seen a hotel go bankrupt, who wanted to use that hotel to help kids and turn it into an orphanage and ministry to kids. And he traveled in other countries to try to raise money for this building, to buy this building. And he was largely unsuccessful, came back to Hong Kong very discouraged. And when he came back, he got a letter in the mail from a little girl with a single dollar in it with a note saying, I want you to use this to help the children. Now, he was so inspired by that he took that dollar to the bank that was trying to sell the hotel and told them his vision and told them the story of this little girl's dollar. That bank signed that hotel over to him for the dollar. You don't know what God will do with, even if you think it's just 5 minutes of your time, or it's giving away winter coats and blankets. You don't know what God can do when you decide to be generous. God can multiply what you want to be generous with. A person, you need to understand,
A person who sows is different than a person who only takes in. Do you want to be known as a stingy person? No. You see, a person who sows a seed, believes in the power of the seed and its ability to also feed others. Maybe God's asking you to just believe that if you give that person a hug, if you give that person a dollar, if you give that person 5 minutes of your time, it's going to be worth something. It's going to bring change to them, and they're going to want to give away to someone else, and it can be multiplied. But see, you're going to have to plant seed now for the future that you cannot yet see. The churches are always built for a future generation. They're never built, and by built I mean whether it's a home church or a tent church or a building. Churches are never built just for the people who come that week. They're always built for a future generation of people that we cannot yet see. And that's why we're here today. We are not here today only for the people in this room. We are a big church. Look around this room. We are not just the people that are here, because each one of you will have influence this week, this month, and in the future with other people. You're going to have a circle of influence of other people that you're going to reach. And the church exists today for people that we don't yet see. When we chose to move here, when we chose to start City Bible Church here in Baltimore, we did so because of a future that we could not yet see. That is a principle of generosity. It's a principle. It's a God principle. It's a principle of sowing seed and waiting to see what will happen. And you don't always see immediate results. You know, there's a particular kind of bamboo that can be under the ground for 4 years before you see a shoot come up. 4 years. You don't always see an immediate return. But what you can see is that God can do something. God can do something that makes a difference. God, I believe God is calling some of you to be more generous with your time, with your energy, with your money. And it takes budgeting, which is not a real attractive thing to talk about, right? It takes a decision. I have to make a plan. I'm not going to watch as much TV. I'm not going to spend as much time on myself playing games or doing this or doing that. I have to make a decision that today, during the course of today, I'm going to live on less of my own time, energy, and money so that I can choose to give away to someone else. Okay. Now, for us, we are initiating for the first time for CBC Baltimore something that City Bible Church in Portland and our network of churches have always done that's a once-a-year thing. Again, this is not connected to a building program or any other particular need. This is about a principle that we're trying to get through you in your life that's about your time, energy, and money. And what we do is we initiate an offering that we're going to call Courageous Generosity. Yeah, a giving your money. Giving your money above and beyond your tithe, or offering, or any of your normal giving. A time of year where you stop and you pray and you ask God, God, what would you have me give in this special offering? And we're not going to do it today. What we're going to do is next week we'll have pieces of paper that you can write down. And so what I want you to do this week is to stop. Turn everything with the screen off. Turn your phone off. Stop, have some quiet time, pray, ask God, what would you have me give? He'll speak to you. He absolutely will. Ask God, what will you have me give? And then come back next Sunday, write down a commitment. What we will do is we will pray over your commitments. And in our churches in years past, this has been an amazing time where in the praying over the commitments and praying over families' financial needs, we have seen people get jobs. We've seen people get promotions. We've seen some amazing things happen. Now, that's not why we do it. It's not our motive. Our motive is just a love response to God. It's a courageous generosity. God has already given me his best. And even if God never gives me another single thing, I'm going to choose to be generous. And so what we do is between every year, and so you can know this is coming again the next year, 2012, because we will still be here. between Thanksgiving and New Year's, we make a commitment, we pray, we ask God what he'd have us give, we make a commitment, and then we give money between now and New Year's as a part of a special courageous generosity offering. That's an offering that the church will be able to use that money for vision. You know that every month we give away money to missionaries, to church planters, and we want to continue to have vision money, seed money, where when we see a need, we can meet it. Maybe that's something here in Baltimore City, something that the church is ready to minister and serve, and maybe that's something that's overseas. But it's a principle of helping you learn courageous generosity. Now, I want you to know that over the past 7 years, $7.9 million has come through our churches through courageous generosity offerings. And that has been used to plant churches. That's a part of how we got here to Baltimore. It's helped initiate campuses. It's helped start churches in other countries. It's helped support missionaries. Over $100,000 has gone to China for translation of Bibles. The children's ministry in Portland that drives into neighborhoods and reaches children that would not otherwise have been reached has gone that way. And even last year, in the midst of real economic downturn in Portland, in City Bible Church, there was over $800,000 that was given as a part of this offering. Because we have made a decision that if God is real, there are principles that we can live by, right? There are principles that we can live by, and so we choose to live on less. Now listen, this is not for us to pay our own bills, remember? This is a once-a-year thing. It's something that we're always going to do, and if you can give, that's awesome. If not, no big deal. Excuse me. If not, it's no big deal. Listen, we're trying to build a principle of that you can be caught up in the grace of courageous generosity. And hey, if this doesn't register for you, no big deal. Be released. You don't need to participate in it. It's okay. It's okay. All we're asking is that you stop, you pray about it, you ask God what he would have you give, and you would ask God to help you make a difference. We're not trying to get something from you. We're trying to get something to you so that God can send a blessing through you. Let me say that again, because I want you to understand what we're doing. We're not trying to get something from you. We're trying to get something to you so that God can send blessing through you. Now, remember what we talked about. It's a time to give liberally, open-handed, with faith and vision. You see, what we're trying to do is so against the negativity that's in our culture right now. People would say this is the absolute worst time to be talking about this sort of thing. What, you're crazy. You know, people, but the reality is that what is being talked about here in the Bible, these folks were in more desperate financial times than we are today in our country. And yet they were being generous to others. And you got to understand there was more ethnic tension, there was more segregation, racism, conflict. There was more strife. There was more problems in the world in this passage of scripture than we have today. That's just the reality. And so what we want you to do is to learn how to live in generosity, because listen, it is a wonderful thing. It was Jesus who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you might be here and you're already thinking about Christmas. Maybe you already have your Christmas shopping done. You're better than me if you do. But if you have enjoyed, if you're an adult or a parent and you've really enjoyed Christmas, it's probably because you really enjoyed finding a gift, whether it was expensive or not, that somebody else would really like. And you had a blast. You had a lot of fun in giving that to them and seeing their reaction and knowing that they would really enjoy it. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about generosity and enjoying the thrill, the love of giving away to someone else. Amen? All right, will you stand with me and we just close in prayer this morning? I'm so very grateful that this is an easy talk because we're in a room of generous people. I'm so grateful I don't know if you realize, but we blow away other church plants as far as the percentage of people in this room right now that choose to be generous with their time, energy, and money. I love you guys. I respect you guys so much. It's amazing what you're doing, choosing to come and be a part of this church plant. You are really amazing people. I love you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us later today, tomorrow, to go back to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, read it again, look for those key words, and allow it to change us, to change our hearts and how we think about this subject. Help us to stop this week and pray and ask you what you would have us give, and help us to stop and pray and ask you to help us see who you want us to be generous with in our lives, with our time, our energy, and our money. God, we love you. We want to give to you. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. You loved us when we were at our worst. You forgive us of our sins. We thank you for it, God, and for all that you are, for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for it, God, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys so much. It's so good to see you today. Have a great Thanksgiving week. Have fun. I look forward to seeing you guys at our house. I look forward to hanging out and playing games and having a good time. Please, if you would like prayer, please come forward to the front. My wife and I will be happy to pray with you and our team. We'd be happy to just pray over whatever God's doing in your life. We got some food out in the refreshment area, concession area to enjoy today. Let's have a great week.